Blog Talk Radio.
Information that will encourage, empower, and educate you.
I'm always excited to bring various studio guests. Tonight, the guest is going to be me. Yes, it's going to be me. But I am excited about what I have or what God has for you on tonight. I believe the revelation of what the word is tonight is going to be great. I will say this, though. I'm nervous about what I have to present tonight because this is not an easy show. This is not an easy topic. And I know some people, this topic is going to step on your toes. But I'm telling you, if you could just put on your spiritual steel-toe boots on tonight and just go ahead and ride through this pain and be willing to not shut down, not back up, not click the delete button, not hang up your phones, then I tell you, I believe on tonight, even though it may be uncomfortable, I believe that you will walk away with a rhema word. And so, again, I'm glad that you've joined us on tonight. And I want to know tonight's title. Let me just tell you tonight's title, and then I'm going to do a prayer. Because I know that anytime there's a difficult word that God wants us to get. And again, none of the words that I bring to you, he dealt with me on it first. And through him dealing with me on it, through my obedience, I now have to share with others. Tonight's subject is captured in a carnal crisis. I will repeat that. Captured in a carnal crisis. Get your pens, get your papers, get your Bibles. Because everything I tell you on tonight, whatever scriptures I might bring to you tonight, what I will challenge you to do is read them for yourself. It's not going to be Coach D and what I have to say, but it's going to truly be from the Word of God. Not my opinion, not my thoughts, but from the Word of God. And I just encourage you to take notes so that you could go back and verify and qualify. Is this the word? Because oftentimes we don't do that and we just listen to what comes to us and we take that as truth. So I want you to be able to define your own truth through the truth, which is the word of God. Amen. So, Father, we thank you on tonight. Thank you for allowing us another opportunity, Father, to come together, to dissect through your word, Father God, to chew on it, to taste it, to digest it, Father, that it could be fruit to our spirit. Father, I pray for each and every person listening in on tonight's show, Lord, that you would just open up their spiritual eyes and ears. Father, that they will hear what thus says the Lord. Father, that they will take this rhema word, Father, and that they will be able to apply it to their daily lives, that it will cause growth, that it will cause deliverance, that it will let the captives free, Father God, for you said that the truth shall set us free. So we just thank you on tonight, Father, no longer I, but you that live inside. I die completely to self, that your spirit will rise up on the inside. Speak to your people, Father. You are invited into this studio on tonight. Have your way, not our way, but your way, Father. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So that we got that out the way, we've invited the Lord to come in on the scene and do what he does best. So again, tonight's subject is captured in a carnal crisis. And what I do, as I always do, is I don't like to skew words and just assume that you know what the definition of those words are. So before we get down to business, I'm going to take care of some upfront business. First of all, I want us to understand what carnal means, because oftentimes we will quote scriptures, we will quote what other people have said, and we don't have a clue as to what it means. So carnal or carnality, the practice of finding satisfaction in activities related to fleshly desires and appetites pertaining to or characterized by the flesh or body, its passion, its sensual, not spiritual, merely human, temporal, worldly. So when you hear people say that this person's of a carnal mind, basically what they're saying is that they are driven by their flesh, by their own gratification, by their own desires, and generally they're worldly. They're operating from the world's perspective. So that's what carnal means, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Crisis, a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. A time when a difficult or important decision must be made. A crisis point of history. So I'm going to go back on that definition on crisis, because tonight I want you to focus on this part of the definition of crisis. A time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. So we're in danger. We're in a carnal danger right now. A time when a difficult or important decision must be made. We are in times that we're at a point right now where we're getting ready to have to make some difficult decisions. We are in a carnal crisis, and we see it around us, and we see what's going on in the world, and some of us don't see. Some of us don't see, and it's obvious that we don't see it because of our actions and how we function and how we think and the things that we do. And why did this subject come up? I don't know. I was grieved this week. And when I'm grieved, the first thing I want to do is I want to go before the Father, because I want to find out why I'm grieved and what's going on with me. But I also, it's not about me being right. I'm not so much concerned with me being right, but I want to understand when I'm going through a grieving process, why am I going through it? What is it that the Lord want me to get from it? What lesson do I need to learn from it? And so quite naturally, and I know some of you are not going to want to hear this, but I'm telling you, just stay with me here. There was a holiday that took place this week, and it grieved me. It grieved me because me being the person I am and always doing word studies and research and checking out stuff, I grew up celebrating Halloween. As a little kid, I dressed up and went trick-or-treating and thought it was just fun. It was candy. It was the dressing up in costumes, and all that was fun. And so as I got older and as I grew spiritually mature, I began to question this holiday. Now, get it. I get it that there's a lot of holidays that we've grown accustomed to through tradition to celebrate. Easter's one. Christmas is one. I mean, there's a lot of them. And we understand that in they're pagan in nature. But I'm talking about some of those are not obvious. Unless you really do the research, it's not obvious. You know, Christmases may not be obvious. Easter may not be obvious. Do your research. But I'm talking about Halloween on tonight. This is what I'm talking about. Halloween, if you understand anything or know any background about Halloween, is a very satanic and demonic holiday. There's the bad spirits, they don't just come out on Halloween. Bad spirits is out there, period. We're constantly in battle, in spiritual warfare. And as a believer, you should know that, because the Word of God tells us that we're in spiritual warfare. But this is a day that's been set aside by these spirits, is set aside for this celebration. So I'm saying this to say, and I know some will argue with me, because I've been pretty much, I'm not going to argue a debate, but I've been in deep discussions all week about this celebration of this thing. So as you know, and I'm standing my ground, Coach D does not support, acknowledge, or celebrate Halloween. I believe as a believer, that's not appropriate for me to celebrate it. So I'm going to get into this, because this is going to make sense. Because we can talk about Halloween, that's one thing. But let's just talk about some of our other things we do. Because as I was grieved about Halloween and seeing so many of my brothers and sisters in Christ celebrating, dressing up like witches and vampires, and then it's so, you know, when I seen it, I was grieved. But then God also brought something else to me. He said to me, yes, be grieved about that. That's a concern. But he also brought up to me about other things that we as believers do that's a grievance to him. So it may not always just be Halloween is one of the things that provoked the question, but then there's other things that we as believers do. We get angry. We respond in anger. You got believers who send their believers that will cuss you out in a minute. We got believers that do carnal Christians is what it's called. So we're going to get further into this. This is not just about Halloween, but I'm bringing up why this subject came up, why this was dropped in my spirit, because it started with the grievance of believers celebrating Halloween. And then we rationalize why we do what we do. Some people don't even know why they do what they do. Some people don't even know why they're Christians. Their mama was a Christian. Their mama's mama was a Christian. And so they became a Christian, and they don't even understand the plan of salvation. They don't even know what it means to be redeemed. And so if you do stuff that you don't know why you do it, then you're not going to get the benefit of it. You're not going to be able to do it in excellence, because in order to master something, you have to study it. In order to master something, you have to spend time. If you're a husband or a wife and you're not spending time with your mate intimately, then you don't know her. You don't know him. And when you don't know him and you don't know her, then you really, your relationship is in jeopardy. Because if I don't know you, then I cannot meet your needs, because I don't know you enough to sit down and understand what your needs are or to be able to hear what your needs are. So in order for me to meet my husband's needs, I would have to spend intimate quality time with him to know him, know what his turn-ons and his turn-offs are, know what he expects and what he doesn't expect. I would have to spend that intimate time. Same with Christ. If you're not spending intimate time with him, if you're not spending that quality time with him, then it's going to be hard to know what he wants. And so we got a lot of people that's using the title Christians that know about Jesus, that have, said the sinner's prayer, but they really don't know who this man is that they're serving. They don't know who their customer is. And for us, God, as a believer, as a Christian, our customer is God. And we need to know, what is it that God wants from us? What is it that God is expecting from us? We can't be like the world. And his word tells us we can't be like the world. We can't be carnal-minded in our dealings. We can't just say, because I want to do it, I could do it. There was a song that came out in the 60s and 70s. I think it was the 70s. Some of you guys there probably know. You could correct me. In the 70s, there was a song that came out that said, "It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to." And if you know it, I'm sure you, I'm hearing the virtual laughter. But we all know, if any of us that's over probably 40 years old know that song, very familiar. And that song came with I believe that song brought about a spirit. There are certain songs that came out at certain times, I think, that made a shift in our society. And I think that was one of the songs. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. And people began to embrace that song and the spirit of that song, and guess what we started doing? We started doing what we wanted to do. And so as a point of doing what we wanted to do, we no longer are doing what Christ wants us to do. We're doing what we want to do. I'm going to take us to, I've already explained what carnality means, and I've already gave you the definition of crisis. So now I'm going to take you to the Word, and then we're going to break that down. So there's two particular books that I want to take you to on tonight that I want to focus on. Many scriptures, but I want to take you to two particular books, because I want to deal with the carnality, and I want to deal with the crisis. Because, see, in the Word of God, he warned us. He warned us that a time would come of carnal crisis. He warned us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read them. This part gets boring, but I want you to get it, because I don't want you to hear the letter of what this word is saying, because I want you to hear the spirit. And to hear the spirit of what the word is saying will give you the revelation that you need in order to be able to walk this journey. We are carnal. We are in the flesh. We were born into sin. We are spirits housed in flesh. So we're in constant battle, but we need to understand that we're in constant battle. even more so because we're in the flesh and we're in constant battle, we have to understand that there is a Savior that has come to help us get through this battle. But if, in order for us to connect to that Savior that's been sent, the Comforter, the Spirit of God, we have to be in union. We have to be connected. We have to be vertically aligned in order to hear us, to activate, to ignite our spirit so that that Spirit could guide us. It says to walk in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the Word of God, and that's what it's meaning. We got to be connected to our spirit in order to not want to run somebody over, to not run somebody off the road, to not cut somebody out, to not want to just be like the world, because the world is doing it, we should do it too. We got to understand that we're in spiritual warfare constantly. So if you're in spiritual warfare constantly, you don't want to put yourself in situations where you're going to set yourself up to be spiritually attacked. Don't you know that spirits need bodies to operate? And when we go unconscious, that spirit comes inside of us and operates through us. Did you know that there's called hitchhiking spirits, that you could go into certain environments, and because you're in that environment, I don't care how, if you're not conscious, those spirits will attach themselves to you. And then you'd be wondering why you got a bad attitude. You'd be wondering all of a sudden you stopped cussing a long time ago, but now all of a sudden this particular day everything that come out your mouth is vulgar. And you're like, what in the world? Don't you know, have you ever walked into a store and you heard a song and you didn't necessarily like the song because it was vulgar, but you found yourself leaving that store and 33 hours later you humming or singing the song? This is real. This is not a Christian fanatic mumbo jumbo. We are in a spiritual warfare. Spiritual supersedes the natural, and we are in warfare. And if you don't know what you're warring against, and if you don't know how to protect yourself, and if you don't know how to not connect yourself to areas that are damaging and dangerous for us, you are captive of a spiritual warfare. You are going through spiritual warfare, regardless of what the addiction is, whether it's because you want to celebrate Halloween, or you know, because you want to dress up like a vampire. Why would anybody in their right mind want to dress up like a vampire or a witch or a monster or a goblin? So I've heard people say, well, I'm dressing up like an angel, but you're still subjecting yourself to a holiday that's been set aside for demonic activity. It would be like, would you let your baby, would you release your child into a cage with lions? Because now you're subjecting your child to get ate and alive by these lions. Same concept. We can't continue to put ourselves in certain situations that we know we're setting ourselves up to be attacked. And you may not even know, because you're unconscious, you may not even know that you're being attacked. So let's go to 2 Timothy, the book. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses again 1 through 10. And I'm going to read it. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. I'm going to say that again. And this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm focusing on verse 7. always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of deprived minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. So this is 2 Timothy, and he warns us about the carnal crisis. This is what we're seeing. We're seeing that we are in a carnal crisis right now. Everything, I don't know about you all, but I can relate to everything they're saying. I've experienced it. I've seen it. I've lived it. I've seen all these things that this speaks of. And it said that we are in terrible times. And everything that it mentioned here has to do with fleshly desires. It has to do with carnality. And we are consumed with carnality. What feels good to me. What tastes good to me. What looks good to me. The five senses is the most dangerous thing because it keeps us attached, captive to carnality. Now I'm going to take us to, now we understand through 2 Timothy that it's warning us about carnality. It's warning us about the carnality crisis. It's telling us, it's forewarning. It said this is what's getting ready to happen. And so we are here. If you would think that each one of you would agree with me that we are here already. We're experiencing this. We see this. We turn on to the news and we look at what's going on. Look at our elections. Look at our two candidates. Look at the choices that we have to pick for presidency. I'm not politically inclined. It don't take a rocket scientist. It don't take a political science major to see that we are in trouble politically based on our choices. But what I see in our choices, in both choices, is that a lot of it is functioning under carnality. It's functioning under all these things that I just said. Look at the slander that's going forth. Look at all the issues that's going forth between the two candidates. It's a little scary. Definitely stay prayerful. Now I'm going to take us to, now that we've dealt with the scripture as it pertains to carnality and the warning, we're going to go over, we're going to skip over, because now I want to deal with what the word say about us being carnal. Not what Coach D say, but what does the word of God say about us being carnal-minded? And it says in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to go verses 6 through 10. Coach D, why are you reading all these scriptures? Who want to hear these scriptures? Honey, I'm reading you the mind of God. I'm reading you the mind of God because if you don't understand the mind of God, then you will not understand what he desires from you. You won't understand what the requirements are. You won't understand all the promises that are given to you, and you won't understand the conditions for converting those things into the promises being fulfilled, manifested. And that's what we're seeing in the world. We're seeing us get up and we go to church. We get up, we go to Bible study. We get up, we go to this conference and this workshop and that workshop. And we get up and we go, 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 go. And then our lives are not changed. Our lives are not transformed. We're conformed to this world and what the world says is right. And God is saying we can't continue to be conformed to this world, but we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. There should be some things that are just obvious to us as believers that you don't do, that you don't function. This is not a call of condemnation. This is not a word of condemnation, because the word of God says, therefore, there is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so what this word tonight is to encourage you, to empower you, and to educate you that you can't continue to be carnally minded and say, we can't continue to be carnally minded and say we his kids, because guess what? He says, you know my, you know what belongs to me. How do you know what belongs to me? Because they follow my commandments. Well, guess what? When you're carnal-minded, you can't even hear God's commandments. When you're carnal-minded, you're separated from God. You can't hear. There's a bottleneck there. And the bottleneck, the thing that's stopping us from hearing from God is the carnality, the flesh. So if you think about a tube, let's take a straw. Everybody know what a straw look like. And so take that straw and push some cotton in that straw right to the middle. Well, that cotton is going to block. Whatever's coming through one end of the straw is not going to make it through the other end. If it do, it might be a little leak. But it's not going to be a full throughput. And that's how we are often as believers. When we operate through our carnal mind, when we allow the flesh to dictate what the Spirit's going to do, then what we're going to do versus letting the Spirit, then we got a bottleneck. When we don't spend vertical time with God, when we don't listen and get a chance to know intimate with Him, intimate through worship, intimate through praise, intimate through prayer, we have to be intimate with God. Because if you're not intimate with Him, then you ain't going to know what He wants. I often say, and those who know me know, I say, the Bible is nothing more than a book with a lot of words. The Bible is nothing more than a book with a lot of words. Now, some of you religious folks, I know you're saying, how dare she say that? The Bible is holy. Oh, my gosh, she's going to go to hell. Well, guess what? It's a lot of people that's reading the Bible, and they don't have the Spirit of God in them to activate those words that might end up in hell anyway. So the Bible is a book full of words, nothing but words. They're powerless. And it's not until the Spirit of God that lives inside of you is activated that activate those words, and those words become power. That's what we hear about rhema words, something that's tangible. When we hear God's word, and my mentor has taught me, you don't see, if I say table, you don't see T-A-B-L-E. You don't see the letters. When I say table to you, most of you, when I say table, if you're honest with yourself, when I said that, immediately you guys start seeing tables. Everybody don't have the same table. Somebody's table might be brown. Somebody's table might be cherry wood, oak, whatever those are. Some are round, some are rectangle, some are square, maybe some are triangle. But when I said table, all of you got a perception. You got a picture. You got a picture in your mind when I said table. Why are you saying this, Coach G? Because what I'm saying to you is when you have the Spirit of God operating in you and you begin to read the Word of God, see, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, remember, Jesus was the living Word, the Father in the flesh, the Word in the flesh, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe in Trinity, then this is not going to make a lot of sense to you. But God's Spirit and God's Word connect. It's like a key. The Spirit of God becomes a key that you put into the ignition with the Word of God, and you turn it, and those words come to life. So now, when you read the Word of God and it says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me, you don't just hear I-D-O-T-H-I-N-G. You start seeing that you could do it. Whatever that thing is, that's your thing. I can do all things. So whatever your thing is, if my thing is being Coach D, if my thing is being a mom, if my thing is being a good employee, if my thing is being a good employer, that's my thing. And now when I hear him say I could do all things, this is what comes to mind. Ooh, I could be a good mom. I could be a good employer, a good employee. These are what I hear. This becomes my reality. Because this is the Word of God, and the Word of God is, I'm saying I believe the Word of God. I'm saying I'm a believer of Christ. So if I'm a believer of Christ and I'm a believer, then I'm a believer of the Word, because the word is God's mind. So now I have God's Spirit activated in me to activate the Word of God. So now when I read it, I got clarity. do what it says because I got a perception. I get a picture. We could read the word of God, and then all of a sudden we get a vision because we read a scripture, and that scripture all of a sudden, because of the activation of it, it said, wow, I could do this, and I could do that. I could fulfill this dream. I could. All things are possible. So we want to make sure that through relationship, through intimate time, personal time with him, that we understand that he is downloading in us his mind through his word, revelation knowledge. Whether you have the Spirit of God operating in you or not, when you read that Bible and it's not coming to light for you, still the mind of God. So you have to find out and you have to ask yourself, if I'm reading the word of God and it's not coming to life for me, then you're going to have to ask yourself a hard question. Is the Spirit of God in you? Is the Spirit of God in you? Is it activate in you? It says that he created us all in his image. He's created everything. So have you activated that Spirit in you? And we'll get further into that later on in the show. How do we activate that? How do we activate that Spirit in us? So, again, we understand the carnality. 2 Timothy warned us, told us this is coming. Carnality crisis is coming. This is how you're going to know it's coming, because you're going to see these type of people functioning this kind of way. And they gave us a list of stuff. We can't, no self-control. I want what I want, and I want it now. We often heard people say we're in the microwave generation. We don't want to delay self-gratification. Discipline means to delay self-gratification. We don't want to do that. I want what I want now. We even got people that said, I want to be married. I'm believing God's going to send me a husband. He sent me a husband. I want a husband by February 2017, and God's going to send me that husband. And then these people get into marriages that was not God ordained because they wanted what they wanted. And they wasn't disciplined. They wasn't disciplined. We haven't been disciplined. How many of us have taken on, either gotten into a relationship, or how many of us have taken a job and we didn't see God? Or maybe we sought God, but we didn't wait for him to give us an answer. And then the next thing you know, we done got ourselves in serious situations or that are damaging. And now we got to go back through the whole process of the pain because of a choice that we made. Now, the good thing about it is because God is so sovereign that what the enemy means for bad, God could turn around for good. So even in our mess, God could still take our mess and make it into our ministry. God could still take our trials and make them into testimonies. God could change some stuff around. He really can. That's who he is. He's God. But it would be so much better if we could just be obedient. It would be so less painful for us to be obedient, to be righteous. Ooh, that's a big word. There's another big word that people get confused, righteous. What if you took that word righteous? Because a lot of times when we hear certain words, we automatically feel like we can't live up to those standards. Words like holy and righteous and faithful. Those are words that oftentimes we as humans, the flesh, hear those words and we say, oh, I might as well just do what I'm doing. I can't live up to that. I can't do that. Righteous, right choices. But how about that? How about something as simple as that? Righteousness, right, making right choices. The righteousness of God, right choices of God. When you take these words, if you break them down and start, don't be afraid to pick up, don't be afraid to study, don't be afraid to do the research. I often tell my son, who I'm sure is listening on tonight, Derek Elijah, I love you. Christian Joseph, I love you. If you guys are listening in tonight, I got my two boys and then my daughter-in-law and grandkids, and I love them very much. I probably got my parents on and family, and I got family in Georgia listening in on tonight, and family in Texas listening in on tonight, and all my listening audience from all over the world listening in, and I thank you and I love you for listening in on tonight. And I hope tonight was going forth. I hope the word that's going forth has really been a blessing to you. We don't have to be. The good thing about the God that we serve is everybody has an opportunity at a new now. Everybody, once you know something and you come into the knowledge of it, then you have an opportunity to make a choice. I'm actually right now, I want to bring up a scripture that I think I was talking to. I was talking to my a family member the other day, and we got into a discussion about, it was about Halloween, and you know, and why I don't believe, and we because of our love, we agreed to disagree, and I love that. I love the place where I'm at today. Because there was a time where I would be argumentative, because once my mind was set that it was right, it was right. That was definitely a carnal-minded Coach D. But I know now what I know. I know what the word knows. I know what I know. So I'm okay with maybe my perception not being somebody else's perception. I'm okay with agreeing to disagree. I'm okay with, I don't have to debate. I don't have to push what I believe into other people, and I think that comes with fear. When we're not firm in what we believe, that we'll have a tendency to become argumentative into a debate. You know, oftentimes we as believers, we don't want to talk to other people that don't believe the same thing we believe, and I think it's out of fear. You know, because when you know what you believe and you stand firm on what you believe, it doesn't matter what somebody else believes, because you just know what you believe and you know what you stand for. And so James chapter 4, verse 17, you guys going to hate this one. Put on your spiritual steel-toe boots, because this one's going to hurt people. But the word of God, not Coach D's word, in James chapter 4, verse 17, and I'm going to do it in the English Standard Version, because I want to break it down to, I want you to understand it. And it says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fail to do it, for him it is sin. So in other words, when you know better, you're supposed to do better. And when you know better and you don't do better, you're held accountable. Not by me, but by the person you say you serve. I'm going to say that again. When you know better, you're supposed to do better. Because when you know better and you don't do better, you're held accountable. That's why many of us don't want to spend personal time. That's why many of us don't want to get into the mind of God through his word. We don't want to do that. Why? That's why many of us, some of us will go to church. Some of us won't go to church. Maybe that's why some of us don't go to church. Because we don't want to know. Because I'd rather do what I'm doing than to know that I'm not supposed to be doing it. Because if I could pretend like I don't know I'm supposed to be doing it, then there's a sense of, ooh, I'm okay. I could do this thing. We know how it is. Let's keep it real. If I'm shacking, I don't want to know the truth about fornication. Why? Because then I would have to make a decision. And me making the right decision may cost me not having my rent paid for next month. It may cause me not to get some Coach purses and some Prada and some red bottom shoes for me to make that decision. For me to know might say I can't hang around certain friends no more. For me to know the truth, I may not be able to hang with certain friends no more. I might not be able to go to some of the places I used to go. I may not be able to put on a costume and go knock on somebody's door talking about trick or treat. I may have to fight with my kids because I had them trick-or-treating all their lives mostly. Now they're 10, 11, and 12. How do I tell them that they're not going to get no more trick-or-treat? Ooh, I'd rather stay on the easy side. So if I just pretend like I don't know what the words say, then guess what? I don't have to become nobody's enemy. My kids don't have to be mad at me. I don't have to lose some friendships that I don't want to lose. I don't have to go try to find me another place to live. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This call tonight, this message tonight, is not about perfection. It's not about nobody sinning. What this call tonight is that God is calling us to be more spiritually minded. And we have to stop being so carnal-minded. We have to stop giving in to our flesh and what our flesh want to do. And we're going to do it because it want to do it. Because what that does is it separates us from God. It's called sin. And sin, in its simplest form, is separation from God. Sin is separation from God. And when we are functioning in our carnal mind, which is the flesh is an entity to God. It's the enemy of God. So when we're operating in the carnal mind, we are actually become the enemies of God because we're not doing what God has called us to do because we're functioning in the flesh. We are functioning in the flesh. So, and we can't please God. We cannot please God when we're functioning in the flesh. So I'm going to read back again because I think I might have skipped over, but I want to read back and my mind went for a minute there. But I got to read Romans again. If I read it, excuse me, but I'm reading it again because I want it to stand out. Romans chapter 8. Verses 6 through 10, and I'm reading the King James Version, and it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." How many of us know when we was out there in the world doing those worldly things, we never had peace? We were looking for peace everywhere. We was looking for peace in the pipe. We was looking for peace in the bottle. We was looking for peace in somebody's bed. We was looking for peace everywhere. But we never came into the fullness of having peace. And it wasn't until we came into the revelation of Jesus and who he was. Hey, okay, yeah, I'm saying Jesus, and we know who Jesus is, but Yeshua, whoever he is to you, we know who he is, the Savior, the Son of God. When we came into that revelation, then that's where the peace came. And so, it says here, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. So then, that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if you are operating in a carnal mind, you cannot please God, period. No ands, no ifs, but when we are operating in our carnal mind, we are not pleasing to God. God cannot get the glory when we're operating in the carnal mind. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 10. Read it. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. The spirit is life because of right choices. Woo! That's it. Right choices. We are daily, renewing daily. It should be your ultimate goal as a believer to, first of all, the first thing in the morning when you wake up is get your marching order. What's that? 5-10 minutes. Go before it. Be thankful that you got another opportunity to get it right. We're not going to always get it right. We are flesh. But there's a spirit that's more powerful that lives inside of us. And if we in tune with that spirit, it helps us through the day. So even when we get off track, that spirit drives us that, whoop, whoop, don't you say that. Don't you do that. You know better. how you know the Spirit of God is operating in you? Because you get those convictions. Before we make a decision to be carnal, once you come into the consciousness, the conscious knowledge of God, before we make a decision to be carnal, we get warnings. We're choosing to be carnal. We're choosing to go back to old ways. If I go off on you, I made a choice to go off on you. I'm choosing to go unconscious. And the Word of God is telling us. It's telling us throughout the Word of God constantly. Tonight, I'm going to do a recap. But it's constantly telling us everything in the mind of God. I'm going to say that, start calling it just the mind of God. God has given us a piece of his mind. And he's given us a piece of his mind. And when you go to church and when you go to Bible study and when you go to these workshops and these conferences and you sit up under that word and then you go out and be the same person that you were, guess what you're saying? I don't want a piece of his mind. I don't want to do that, because I'm going to do what I want to do. It's my thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. But as a believer, if you know the word, you'll know also that in the word he tells us that we are no longer our own. We were brought with a price. Again, this is not about perfection. This is not about that you won't sin, because guess what? As long as you're in that flesh, you're going to sin again. But what this is about is living lifestyles of sin, being carnally minded, that you cannot operate and please God being carnally minded. You cannot operate and please God being carnally minded. And your biggest challenge as believers, if you're struggling in your relationships, if you're struggling on your job, if you're struggling in your finances, if you're struggling in all these areas of your life, ask yourself, am I being carnal-minded? Because if I'm being carnal-minded and that's not pleasing to God, how am I going to get the promises and the blessings of God? Don't think. If you think you're being blessed now, great. But can you imagine how much more you'll be blessed? Because God's promises come with conditions. It's always, if you do this, you'll get this. Even salvation is to come with a condition, because you got to confess and believe in your heart that he is Lord. That's an action. That's a condition. You got to do that in order to receive salvation. Don't think for one minute that you could just sit on your butt and not do nothing and continue to get the and operate in the promises and the blessings. And the abundance of God, because there's conditions. Don't think for one minute if you're doing what you want to do when you get ready to do it, how you want to do it, that you are his, because he said, those that are mine, you know they're mine because they're going to follow my command. So that's asking us. That's just something we got to ask ourselves. Those are some hard questions. Who do I belong to? Who do I belong to? Who do I say that I am? Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? But I'm asking you, who do you say that you are? And if you say that you're his, a daughter, a son of the most living, the living God, then if you're saying that, how do we know? How can I tell? That's a saying that's a thing that we say. You know, that's carnal, but we say it. How can I tell? Somebody said, well, I love you. How can I tell? And we tell the God, oh, Lord, I love you. And he said, how can I tell? Because he said, if you love me, you'll keep my command. He also said, if you love me, you'll feed my sheep. What are you feeding his sheep? If you are from a carnal mind and everything you're doing is carnality, what are you teaching somebody else? What are you pouring in somebody else? Are we being popular? Are we saying the things that we think is the most popular thing to say? That we want to tickle the ears of men? It's not an easy message to bring when you have to talk about carnality and getting a chance to do what you want to do when you get ready to do. That's not an easy. Don't know men and women of God want to get up and teach that message. That's probably why a lot of churches is full. I'm talking about full, pouring out at the seams. They got more members than they got seats. I'm not saying all of them that's bad is not teaching the word, but I'm just saying, I wonder. Because it's easy to tickle ears. It's easy to talk about blessings. It's easy to talk about those kind of things. Matter of fact, if I post something about somebody being blessed, your blessing is coming, tap three people, say amen, and forward this, post this on your page, everybody would be doing it. I would have 86 to 1,000 likes and people doing it. But then when I post something that's real and it's talking about how in the heck can you see the Bible talking about casting out demons, casting out spirits. You know we're in spiritual warfare. This is not something that is being made up. It's in the Word of God. Just a sure fact that there is a God, there is a devil. You know that. And if you know that, how can you go out and put yourself into those situations? Why would you want to dress up like a witch? Why would you want to dress up like a warlock and say it's just trick or treat? It's just fun. It's just for the candy. Easter is just for the candy and the Easter eggs. Christmas is just the candy and the presents. And I find it ironic that a lot of things that we're attached to as humans comes with candy. Think about it. A pedophile uses candy to be a predator to children. You know that saying, ooh, come here, little kid, I got some candy. So why are we the little kids running around here taking every piece of candy we see, everything that tastes sweet, looks sweet, sounds sweet, we embracing it. We are God's children. We're his children. But yet and still we're letting strangers offer us candy, and we're taking that candy. And it's making us sick. It's giving us belly aches. It's making us sick. Sick. It's molesting us. It's making us sick. It's perverting us. It's making us sick. It's playing with our minds. It's lust. It's deceit. It's deception. It's the plan and the goal of the enemy. His time is limited. He's on a short time, and his objective is to get you away from your father. His objective is to give you enough candy to get you away from your father so that he could kill you. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. This is real, people. This is not for play. We are in spiritual warfare. He know his time is coming up, and he's trying to get all that he could get. Don't make his job easy. Yes, you're not perfect. No, we're not perfect. Yes, we will make mistakes. That's what Jesus died for. But don't you think for 1 minute when you sit up and say, he died for my sin, that you could just operate in a life of sin, because that's not sin that you belong to him. Because if his spirit is inside of you, then you got conviction. And you're not going to feel comfortable about operating in that life of sin. So anyway, I'm going to give an opportunity for those listening in on tonight's show. I pray that it was a blessing to you. I pray that you got it. If nothing else, it may not have been a favorable message, but if nothing else, I pray that something was said on tonight, that a scripture was spoken on tonight, that something was brought tonight that will make you go tonight in your quiet time and get before your Father and have an intimate relationship with him tonight. Get before him and cry before him. Abba, Father. Daddy God. Daddy Father. Go before him and let him show you. Ask him to show you where you're missing it. Ask him to show you the areas in your life that's carnal. Because sometimes we may not know. But ask him. And let him tell you. Let him show you. This message for some of you that I said may not mean nothing. It may have not triggered anything in you, but it was the uncompromisable word of God. And he's telling us, if you my children, stop being carnal. You can't serve two masters. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and he will receive nothing. And it says in his word that many of us will say, Lord, Lord, I know you. I prayed for people. I fed the homeless. I clothed the homeless. gave tents to the homeless. And that may not be enough, because if you don't have that personal one-on-one relationship, if you're not doing what God's telling you to do, if you're operating in carnality, you're not pleasing him, period. He's saying it. You're not pleasing him. You, matter of fact, you're against him. So I want to give everybody or anyone that's listening in on tonight, if you're listening in tonight and you have a question or a comment about the subject matter tonight, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. We would love to hear your questions and comments on tonight. Again, you could dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment about tonight's show. We are always excited. May not always be a popular word that go forth, because people don't want to know. We don't want to know, because we don't want to have to be held accountable for what we know. So we don't want to know, and I'm saying we, because I've been guilty too. I don't want to know. But if you're on the call tonight, it wasn't by accident. It wasn't that you just happened to tune into the call. God put it on your heart for you to be on this call. Maybe you was on the call because you needed to hear this word, whether it was for correction or for clarification. You needed to hear this call tonight. And so I just thank each and every one of you for your support, for the listening audience through the internet. Thank you for listening in on tonight. Know that you are loved and appreciated. For those listening live in the studio on tonight, know that you are loved and appreciated. We thank you. MCD Network doesn't take for granted. We love our listening audience. We thank you for your support and your continual support. Please, if you're blessed by any of our shows, tell your friends, tell your family, have them tune in and listen. Again, we love the support. We have two shows that broadcast weekly. We have one show that broadcasts monthly. On the first Monday of every month, we have Relentless Pursuit with Philandis Harris and Tamika Sanders. These young ladies are on fire for the Lord. They're doing some powerful things. Their testimonies are amazing, and they do a show on Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8:30 p.m. Central Time, and 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the first Monday of every month. Then on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we have Woman to Woman with Minister LaDon and myself. We co-host this show where we bring topics to women, about women, from women. Dynamite show on every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please feel free to tune in. And then on Thursday nights, every week, weekly on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we have Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. And I bring a variety of subject matters to the table. I have special guests next week. I have a wonderful guest that's going to be coming on, a dynamic show. Her testimony is amazing. And so we're going to be she's going to be on the show joining us next week. So anyway, again, we thank you. Please feel free to tune in weekly and just know that you are truly loved and appreciated. And I'm going to close with a different song on tonight, because some of us heard this show, and like I said, therefore there is no condemnation to those who's in Christ Jesus. This show may have been cutting. It was surgery, and it went in, and it may have cleaned out the wounds and left you open. So I just want to make sure that when we open our listening audience, cut out all the stuff and bring to your attention and bring to your knowledge certain things. It could be disturbing. But see, the enemy will come in and try to make you feel guilty. He'll come in and try to condemn you. He'll come in and cause you to shut down. You might even get an attitude because you may not agree with what's been said. But I want you to know that we serve a now God, and a now God gives us the opportunity now to make a better choice. We have opportunities now for righteousness, right choices. We have opportunities now. And so if you know that you've been operating in a carnal mind and you know that it's not pleasing to God and you don't want to operate in that carnal mind, the first thing I'm going to tell you is just repent. Repent. Turn away from. And then after you repent and turn away from it, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Forgive. And just move forward. Have a good evening.
As a child of God, you have that peace. How to live like you did. Teach us how